This is a message from Embassy Church in Belmore, Sydney. We hope that it's a blessing to you.
Now for the word. Well, welcome Pastor Ree to deliver our last segment. I think we've got a bit of screen time. Yeah, we've got a bit of screen time, so fix your eyes on the screen. Pastor Ree will be up soon. Thanks, everyone.
So I've got a question that's always bothered me. The Bible says there's one God, but in other parts of the Bible, God is three, Father, Son, and Spirit. How can it be both?
Yeah, this is a question that has mystified people for thousands of years. And while we can't fully explain it, I think we can better understand what it is that we can't fully understand.
What do you mean?
Well, think of it this way. Here's a two-dimensional plane. And then, here's an object with three dimensions that's going to pass through the 2D plane.
Okay, right. From this perspective, the 3D object's above and below the plane.
So now it makes sense. But imagine you were a 2D person stuck on the 2D plane. What would you see?
I don't know. What would I see?
Well, it would look like this.
Oh, yeah, okay. From this perspective, it looks impossible. It's one object, and then two objects, and then three.
But in reality, they're all one, just not in a way you're capable of understanding. Now, let's take this whole thing as a visual analogy for how we experience God. The claim in the Bible is that God is transcendent, a divine being through whom we live and move and have our being. Or, as God says, I am.
Okay, but I live here in this universe, so when God appears, it will make sense in some ways, but in other ways, it will break my categories.
Exactly. This happens all the time when people encounter the God of the Bible. So let's look first at how this happens in the Hebrew Scriptures. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, God appears in complicated ways that don't quite fit our categories. One common way this happens is with God's attributes.
So an attribute is a way to describe what something is like. For example, a soccer ball is round.
Right.
Or God is wise.
Yeah, great. Let's take God's wisdom. So the book of Proverbs says that God created the world by his wisdom. But then there are also poems in the book of Proverbs that describe God's wisdom as a person, a co-worker through whom God architected the universe.
So God's attribute becomes a separate character?
Yeah. This also happens with God's glory, which sometimes appears as a human figure on a throne that's engulfed in fire. Or take God's word, which he can speak to people, but sometimes his word appears like a person.
Wait, so God's attributes have become new little gods?
No. The biblical authors believe there's only one all-powerful God.
But they're comfortable talking about them as different characters.
Yeah, this is part of the way that the biblical authors portray the one God's complex identity. They're God's attributes, and also distinct from God.
Distinct from God, and also God.
Yes. Once we learn to spot that way of talking about God's identity, you begin to see it all over the Scriptures. In fact, you find it in the first sentences of the Bible that mention the Spirit of God. So the opening line of the Bible is pretty familiar.
In the beginning, God created.
But then keep reading. Who is it that we see within creation hovering over the waters?
The Spirit of God.
Yeah, so the Spirit refers to God's personal presence and energy that we can interact with here within creation.
And so the Bible can refer to God's Spirit as distinct from God.
Distinct from God, and also God. It's God's Spirit. And while this sounds strange from our point of view, this complexity is what the biblical authors are trying to get us to see. So we've looked at God's attributes and God's Spirit. Now let's make our last stop exploring God's complex identity in the Hebrew Scriptures with a character called the Son of Man. So in the Bible, there's only one God that people are to worship, which makes this story in the book of Daniel really surprising. Daniel has a dream about a human figure called the Son of Man, which means a member of humanity. And Daniel dreams about this human getting elevated on a cloud, up and then higher up.
Up into God's space.
Yes, and then this human sits at the right hand of God's heavenly throne, and all humanity worships this human alongside God.
A human where I expect to see God.
Yeah, this human is a part of God's identity. This vision is about the climactic hope of the whole biblical story. God and humanity become one so they can rule the world together as one.
So the Son of Man is distinct from God and also God.
Exactly. So think back over everything we've looked at. In the Hebrew Scriptures, God's identity is complex. And so, when Jesus' followers encountered God as the Father, Son, and the Spirit, they already had categories for how these could all be the one God of the Bible.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, so in the New Testament, we're introduced to Jesus of Nazareth. And he's human, but way more. His favorite title to call himself was the Son of Man.
The figure in Daniel's vision.
And the claim is that he is this complex God become human to unite other humans with God.
Okay, so the Gospels portray Jesus as fully human.
And also as Yahweh, the God of Israel. Jesus went around saying and doing things that only Yahweh can do, like forgiving people's sins or calming the chaotic waters.
So they're saying Jesus is a human, distinct from God, and also God.
Yeah, and that might sound crazy unless you've been reading the Hebrew Scriptures, which prepared you for it. And then check this out. Jesus' first followers, the apostles, talked about his identity using the language of God's attributes. They called Jesus the glory of God, or the Apostle Paul called Jesus the wisdom of God. Or John opens his gospel calling Jesus the Word of God through whom the world was created. And then he says, the Word was with God and was God.
Okay, I get what they're doing, and it hurts my brain.
Totally. And if you want to spin your brain even more, consider this. Jesus, who's portrayed as God become human, would talk to God as a distinct person. And when he did, he called him Father. When Jesus talked about God, he wasn't referring to an abstract force or energy. He was talking about a personal being that you can relate to.
There's a lot of personal images of God in the Bible. Ruler, creator, judge.
But Jesus consistently referred to God as my Father. Jesus experienced God as a source of infinite love. He said, the Father has loved me since before the creation of the world. Apparently, Jesus knew the Father as an eternally others-centered, life-giving being.
Right, like in the story about Jesus' baptism, when the Father says from heaven, this is my Son whom I love.
And then keep reading. In that story, the person who brings that message of love from the Father to the Son is the Spirit of God.
So we've talked about God's Spirit. Here within creation, it's through the Spirit that we interact with the divine.
Yeah, and the same was true for Jesus. Through the Spirit, he experienced the Father's love. But it didn't stop there. Jesus promised that through him, the Spirit would go out and share the Father's love with all humanity and with all creation.
So it can look like these are three distinct gods, but in some way that transcends my view of reality, they're also one.
Right. This is what later followers of Jesus called the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are the one God of the Bible.
I could see how they got there.
But this isn't just a philosophy puzzle. To describe God as a triunity is to claim that the universe is held together by an eternal community of love.
Which is something that I can't really understand.
But the God of the Bible isn't a being that you understand. The point is to know and be known by this God so that we can participate in his love.
Wasn't that good? That was. Yes. Someone thought so. Yeah. That was some reasonably intense theology in just a few minutes. And the reason that I thought it would be good for us to start off here this morning is because we're wrapping up our Spirit and Truth series. And if you take nothing away from this series and from this morning, just take this fact away, that when we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, we are in fact talking about the Holy Spirit because we're talking about God. Holy Spirit and God, same thing. We're not like trying to be freaky and try and go off on a weird tangent. We're talking about the Holy Spirit because we want to glorify God. But even more than that, why we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and his gifts to us the last few weeks is because we fundamentally believe that the Holy Spirit exists. He lives. He comes alive. Whatever language you want to use, the Holy Spirit exists so that through Jesus, you can experience God's love and that you can become God's love to others. The Holy Spirit lives so that you can experience, through Jesus, God's love personally, and then to become God's love for others. That's why he's around. That's why he's important. That's what makes him happy, if you will. If you take nothing from this series, take away that fact. God wants you to experience his love, so he's given you the Holy Spirit. and by the Holy Spirit, you can experience God's love. And not only can you experience it, but you can become God's love to the world around you all day, every day. The Bible says in Matthew 7:38 that when you become a believer, rivers of living water will flow out of you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, actually. When you become a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit coming alive in you, rivers of living water will start to flow out of you. And one of the really practical ways the Bible describes this happening is through the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah? We live in a time in history where we're super comfortable about talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, you guys know it from Sunday school. Love, joy. Great voice. Should be reading. Yes, you know it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're so comfortable talking about the fruit of the Spirit in this time in history. We're so comfortable, too comfortable. There, you don't even have to be a Christian to want to be more loving, you know? People love Jesus, not because they follow Jesus, but because he was a love revolutionary. He revolutionized the world with how we cared about people. We don't have to be a Christian to want to be more loving. But one of the ways the Holy Spirit can transform our lives is by making us more loving, making us more faithful, making us more joyful, making us more self-controlled. Man, you don't have to be a Christian to want to be more self-controlled. I think we're all working on self-control with an app called Noom. Like, we're all working on self-control when it comes to our eating and our exercise and every other possible space in our life. We are pretty comfortable talking about the fruit of the Spirit and wanting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. What we kind of don't really talk about so much, and why we've been talking about it the last few weeks, is because sometimes we don't really know how to place the gifts of the Spirit in the river of life that's meant to be flowing out of us. What I'd like us to think about this morning is that the fruit and the gifts are really just all part of the same river that's flowing out of us as believers. The Holy Spirit comes alive in us. He activates our life in such a way that life's meant to be flowing out of us. Sometimes it's fruit, sometimes it's gift. I would, you know, maybe we'll call the fruit character for the sake of language this morning, for how we understand it. And maybe, can I stretch your mind with me just for a second to think about the gifts of the Spirit as the abilities. Jesus had a character, fruit of the Spirit, and he had special abilities that to us look a little bit like superpowers sometimes, but they were just the special abilities of the Holy Spirit working out of his life. We call them gifts. I think that the simplest way I can think about explaining this is that we are natural beings, right? We have bodies, we have like five senses. Most of the time, we live in a really natural plane where we, if it's not, you know, five senses, then it doesn't really go too much deeper. You know, if we can see it and touch it and smell it and, you know, eat it, it's yum. If it's yummy, it's good. You know, like if it's natural to us, it makes sense to us. Most of us, though, would agree that there is another dimension to us that we can't always put our finger on, though. You know, there's more to us than just what we can touch and just what we can see. Again, you don't really have to be a Christian to believe this or to have this kind of sense that there's a little bit more to life than meets the eye. For the sake of today, let's call that the supernatural. It's just a little bit more than natural. The natural and the supernatural. The way I would like to think about the gifts of the Spirit this morning is just simply this. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit, so that you can have rivers of life flowing out of you, so that you can experience God's love and become that love to others. Every so often, he will like pop the hatch in the natural into the supernatural and send like some sort of link so that heaven comes to earth for you. And he will just ask that you do whatever that, like, maybe he'll tell you something, maybe he'll show you something, maybe you'll just get a feeling about something. The Holy Spirit will pop the hatch in the natural, give you a little taste, give you a little something of the supernatural. And what he doesn't want that to do is weird. What he doesn't want that to be is weird. He wants that to be part of our everyday life, same as the character. The point being that you experience the love of God and you become the love of God to others. My examples for this, a couple of really practical examples for this. Let me tell you a couple of stories this morning. Like recently for me, like I've got two babies now, right? And so it's requiring something of a transition, as I'm sure every working parent experiences. And for the last couple of months, honestly, sometimes I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. My to-do list grows way quicker than I can knock stuff off. And sometimes I'm just like, God, what am I doing? You know, like what is the point? I can definitely see why ladies sometimes take a pause for a few years when they, you know, shoot out the babies. You know, like sometimes you just feel like you're getting nowhere every single day. When you have those days, and you don't have to be a mum to have those days, everybody has those days. When you have those days, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm just like, God, should I just like take a pause here for a minute? Like, let's just take a beat for 5 to 10, you know, years. So when I have these feelings, I was talking to God about it, right? This is a couple of months ago. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. So over the space of about a month, I felt like God started to tell me stuff that I need to do, how it's going to work, like how I can navigate this transition. To be honest, though, I agree with him. I'm trying to practice what he's telling me to do. But some days, it still doesn't make that day any easier. Some days, you're just like, maybe just 3 years off. Maybe not 5 years. Maybe we'll just pause for a couple of years. You know, like maybe this is not working, God. The last time I had a day like this, listen up, fam. This involves you. I'll take my jacket off. It's getting hot up here. Last time I had a day like this, I woke up in the morning and I had a text from a friend, a lovely friend, part of our church family here. And it was a screenshot of her devotion that morning. Now, I hazard a guess, my friend, I don't think, had been in, you know, like a crazy worship, hallelujah, Holy Spirit, prayer meeting with herself and Jesus for like 3 or 4 hours prior to sending me the screenshot. I don't think so. She's a great woman of God, but I'm pretty sure she got teething babies herself, you know, like she's got a lot going on. I'm pretty sure she didn't do anything supernatural before sending me, not supernatural, but anything like super spiritual, you know, like super Christian, before sending me that screenshot, other than wake up early enough to have a quiet time with God, read her devotion, let the Holy Spirit help her to experience God's love and to think about me in that process. In that process, she became God's love to me by sending me a screenshot. The screenshot actually reinforced everything that God had been telling me over the last month. Just said it really succinctly in a way that I wouldn't have thought of myself. The Holy Spirit literally, for my friend, popped a hatch between the natural and the supernatural, sent down a little bit of Jesus, God's love, through her to me, reinforced something supernaturally. We would say that was prophetic. She did a prophetic act in that moment, literally by sending me a screenshot of her devotion. You can do that. I can do that. Anybody can do that. If we're listening, if we just take a moment. It's not like stuff for the super Christian, except for me in that moment, that was a supernatural message from God to me. Later on that day, no less, a pastor in the region, I don't even know him that well, he sent me a belated birthday text. And all it said was, hey, Rhea, I know it's your birthday. I'm sorry I missed it. But I have been thinking about you, and I just think God told me to say this to you. Here's a verse. He sent me a text. Not even on my birthday. He sent me a text saying, sorry, I missed your birthday. But then he sent me a message from God in like one little paragraph in a verse that, again, reinforced what Jade had sent me in her screenshot and what God had been telling me for the last month. In that moment, he popped a hatch between the natural and the supernatural, and heaven was literally able to come to earth in my life because he sent me a text. You can do that. I can do that. This is not like those old school like prophets coming out and the whole town has to come out and everyone lines up and gets like, Dr. Lawyer, Dr. Lawyer. I had one of those. I was going to be a lawyer. What happened? I don't know. My husband sometimes thinks I should be a lawyer. He thinks I'm really good at making an argument. But, you know, this is not that. This is just everyday stuff. Someone had a devotion, sent a screenshot, and it was God speaking to me through my friend. A pastor I don't even know sent me a text. He popped the hatch between the natural and the supernatural. God sent me a message through a text. Anyone can do that. When I was a kid, I was the scaredest kid in the whole world. I can't even tell you. And then I started going to a youth group, and my youth leader, man, he just like latched onto me a little bit. And he kept pushing me to do stuff. I was like the shyest kid in the whole world. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do anything. I'm happy to work. I'm happy to set out chairs, whatever. And he would always get me to like talk at stuff or lead meetings, or he'd just keep pushing. And it was cool, you know, like I was young, so you just sort of do what you're told a little bit when you're young, right? But I remember one time he got me to do something like in a meeting or whatever, he knew that it was a stretch for me, like anything, to be honest, anything was a stretch for me. But we had a conversation as we were going home that day, and he goes to me, oh, Rianne, I'm sorry that I keep pushing you. It's just, to be honest, I just feel like when you talk sometimes, it's like God says, listen, and I feel like you need to develop that. Like if that's a thing for you, then what have you got to lose? I was not in a position, or I did not have the capacity in my life at that time to hear that message from God myself. But can I tell you, if he, just this random little youth leader in the middle of nowhere in New Zealand with this bunch of nobody kids, if he hadn't have taken a moment to pop the hatch, just tell me, he didn't even say that God told him to tell me, he just said he had a feeling. If he hadn't had that little feeling, been in his feelings with Jesus, popped the hatch between the natural and the supernatural, just allowed that feeling to make a communication to a little kid who really had no aspirations of being anything other than, you know, a mixed media artist or a farmer, one of the two. honestly, I shouldn't be here. I legit should not be the person that I am today. I shouldn't be here with you today. Were it not for Steve Jaffiers popping the hatch between the supernatural and the natural. And you know, the thing is, that was just such a random conversation. I really doubt that he would remember it. If you asked him about it today, he'd probably be like, no idea. It meant very little to him, but it was a communication from heaven to a little person in the middle of nowhere without the capacity or the faith to get that message themselves. Anybody can do that, is my point this morning. This stuff is not for the super Christians. It's not only for the weird people. It's for the weird people, 100%, but it's not only for the weird people. It's for all of us, because this is the way that rivers of living water are supposed to flow out of our lives. The reason we've been talking about this stuff the last few weeks is because we want to be believers who have rivers of living waters flowing out of our lives. I have no doubt that that is the heart of everybody in this building, pretty much. To do that, to be that, sometimes we need to speak to the Holy Spirit himself, to speak to God himself and say, you know what, maybe I let that part slide. Maybe I didn't understand it. Maybe I just haven't been thinking about it. Maybe, God, I need you to just wake up that spirit of prophecy in my life so that I can encourage someone, so I could send a text, so I can send a screenshot, so I can put a smile on my face and say something encouraging to someone because you've prompted me to do that. Anybody can do this stuff. It's just that, does anybody? Anybody. We can do this stuff. Bill Johnson is the pastor of a church called Bethel, and those guys are kind of like leading the way, I guess, for the last few years, and a lot of this, like, how the Holy Spirit moves and the gifts of the Spirit. He says this really interesting thing, though. He says that for too long, the church has used the gifts to look for the dirt. Thank you, Margo. It's not the COVID.
It's not.
It's allergies. That's what you always got to say. It's just allergies. It's COVID. Sorry. It's stuck in my mind. Okay. Bill Johnson. He says this cool thing. He says, too long we've used the prophetic in our world to look for the dirt in the gold mine. God doesn't do that. God looks for the gold in the gold mine, and that's what our job is to do. Can I say it again? Anybody can do that. You can have a friend and look for the gold in them and just tell them about it. That's all my pastor did for me, my youth leader back in the day that I was just talking about. You can, that's what my friend, that's what Jade was doing for me. She's looking for the gold in the gold mine. She's looking for a way to encourage me in the season of life that I'm in. That's all the pastor did for me. He sent me a happy birthday text. I think actually what he was trying to do was just say happy birthday. You know, like he was looking for the gold in the gold mine. If you've ever seen a gold mine, it looks like dirt. It's a little bit harder to find the gold in a gold mine often than the dirt. But it's our job to find the gold in the gold mine. And that's why we want to ask the Holy Spirit to start using us. We want him to give us the gifts of the Spirit. We want him to give us the fruit of the Spirit. And this morning, we want to give a little bit of time to allow us to let him tell us how he'd like to use us, to give us a message for us to say, Lord, what am I missing? I heard a cool message actually from a guy called Francis Chan. Many of you will know him. He was like a big note pastor, big mega church, shut it down, started all these house churches. He's an author. He's a speaker. He said this very honest thing in a message he spoke recently. He said, sometimes he looks at people who aren't following Jesus and he thinks, shucks, they have more joy than I do. They can't be right. Amen. They are more loving than I am. They don't even know the Holy Spirit. What he says this prompts him to do, knowing that rivers of living water should be flowing out of him because the Holy Spirit's alive in him. What he says this challenges him to do is to go, Holy Spirit, give me the gift. Give me the character of joy. Give it to me. Give me that love. You promised to give it to me. Give me this gift of prophecy. And it doesn't have to be weird, but give me someone I can send a text to tomorrow morning. Let rivers of living water flow out of my life. Let me find the gold in the gold mine. This morning, can we spend a moment with the Holy Spirit and just say that to him? Man, if there is stuff that is lacking in your life and you know it, let's ask the Holy Spirit to give you that gift. Hallelujah. To give you that character, to give you that special ability. That's what he lives to do. The Holy Spirit lives to help us experience the love of God and to become the love of God to others. Whatever we're missing out on, he is here and wanting to give it to us this morning. So if the band's going to join me, I think maybe all of the band. Sure. And I've just asked Margot to lead us for a little time in worship and prayer. And for us just to get a bit of time to ask God to give us some of the stuff that we feel like we haven't got yet, or we've just, it's been a bit, you know, it's been a bit tired, it's been a bit lacking. So that not just here, but tomorrow when we leave, man, wouldn't it be cool if you were going through the drive-through later and you had a word of encouragement for the girl at the window. You know, God popped someone into your mind tomorrow morning and you just sent them off a little encouraging text or something. This stuff is for all of us. So what can we do this morning to encourage, to allow the Holy Spirit to form rivers of living water, more rivers of living water to flow out of our lives? Thank you, Jesus. Shall I pray? And then Margot's going to lead us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that you would send us the Holy Spirit so that we can experience your love and we get the privilege of becoming your love to others. This morning, we want to give you this time to just soak in your presence. Speak to us. Give us ideas, give us names of people we could speak to or we could encourage, and give us ideas of the gifts and the fruit, the ways you want to develop us and grow us so we can be the kind of believers that look like Jesus. We give you this time. We love you, Lord. Speak to us in Jesus' name.